Who was this man? What was he?
Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Let me get this straight. At the Grammys tonight, an artist whose first name is Killer was arrested, put in handcuffs, and taken off the stage. His first name is Killer. I don't know. What could he be accused of? Good evening. I'm Walter Sterling. Live weather now. Dr. Dave.
Sterling on Sunday. Coming up.
Buckeye State. Pharmacy. Stabbing. People of Walmart later. Sterling at night.
Everybody knows someone with unusual quirks. Let's talk about it. I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk host, and I'll be stopping by later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I share a story about the time I got pulled over as a rookie cop. And instead of getting a ticket, it led to a friendship that went back many years that led to a lot of useful information. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. With the death of a rabbit this week, we have no more pets in the house. Except for the robotic vacuum, which I like better than any pet.
Sometimes he even pets him and says, good boy.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bras?
I'm a lesbian.
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 The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
Yes, we have an update from Velo Hool on Strippers on the Loose and Life at Walmart. Both are available right now. I can't wait to share this with you, because what else you got about crap going on in Congress? Nobody cares. Nobody cares. The only people who listen to that crap are people who do not have the ability, physical ability, to get up and turn off the radio. Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday, live on a Sunday night. Rapper Killer Mike was handcuffed and escorted by police out of the Grammy Awards tonight. Hi, tonight, this is a live radio show. No other show on the radio at this time is referring to this event. Why is that? Oh, I know, because they're voice tracking. Let's save some money and then go, oh, gee, how come more people aren't listening to the radio? Maybe it's because you're voice tracking. The LAPD that an individual was detained by after a physical altercation at Crypto.com Arena, where the Grammys are being held. Wait, they have in L.A., their arena is Crypto.com. How long do you think that's going to hold up? Don't you think the minute it rains, the concrete's going to start to melt in Crypto.com? Let's review what crypto is. Ready? It was invented by a man who may or may not have been Chinese. He may or may not have invented it in China. He may or may not actually exist. It is put together by a series of algorithms and secret passwords that, if the person who put in the password, could die with billions of dollars of your money. Oh, that happened. Oh, one of them died with billions of dollars of your money because they died with the, what do they call it, a lock chain or something? Oh, my gosh. This is a scam. Ladies and gentlemen, 20 years from now, the world will look back at cryptocurrency and laugh their butts off. This will be one of the greatest scams of all time. All you have to do is that Warren Buffett has no interest in this. But let's get back to rapper Killer Mike was handcuffed and escorted by police out of the Grammys Award tonight. He had already won 3 Grammys during the pre-televised portion of the ceremony. The LAPD confirmed that the individual was detained after an altercation at the arena where the Grammys were being held, but they would not comment on the person's identity. Warder Chris Gardner broke the news with his videos of Killer Mike being detained on X. Variety, the publication, has reached out to Killer Mike's representatives, CBS, the Recording Academy, and the LAPD for more information, but nobody's talking. Nobody's talking. And there's Killer Mike with representatives. Well, who would his representatives be? Bail bondsmen? Who would Killer Mike's representatives be? Like his posse? Who would they be? Oh, my gosh. His name is Killer Mike, and he was arrested. Gee, nobody knows why. Welcome. Unbelievable. I promise you, I don't know what it is. You don't know what it is. I wish him well. But I promise you he'll be released before the end of the Grammys. That would be my hunch. Just a guess. Then I saw this week these massive hearings about the most important thing in the world. Water in your basement? The check engine light on in your car? Trouble at school with the kids? No. The most important thing apparently is trouble with social media. Trouble with social media. X, Facebook, but mostly TikTok, because it seems that TikTok is owned by a Chinese entity and controlled by a different Chinese entity. And their CEO seems to be Chinese, but I can't say. Don't want that label. No. And they say that the people who use TikTok, their data is assiduously controlled, monitored, and followed by the Chinese government. And I'm thinking, well, I go on TikTok a lot, and my kids go on TikTok a lot. My kids usually watch anime. No, not anime Sakusky, anime cartoons. They watch anime. I don't care. But what I go on TikTok and look at is something that is really interesting to me. There's a woman on there named Emily Billings. She lives in Hoboken. And then there's Anna Barger. She lives in Lower Manhattan. And the bulk of Anna Barger's videos, you can go look it up, B-A-R-G-E-R. You can go look her up. The bulk of her videos shows her walking in the sunshine in Manhattan, which is suspicious right there. Walking in the sunshine in Manhattan. Adorable, delightful person. Showing us her new cute shoes and her new cute socks. She's very big on her socks. And she's always about 10 feet away from the phone. And she says, well, you know, people wonder why I don't have a tripod, but there are tripods everywhere. And she puts her iPhone on top of various lampposts, parking posts, curbs, the front of buildings. And then she records these 10, 20-second videos that are adorable. I watch every one she puts up. And then there's Emily Billings, who takes it to the next level. And Emily's very pretty. She lives in Jersey City, Hoboken, and talks about, you know, great places for a single girl to go for a drink and great places to go for a burger. I love this. But mostly what Emily does is what most of the women who post videos on TikTok do. She puts on makeup. And all of these women are 18 to 30 years old. They're making videos, posting them. And it's of them putting on makeup. Okay. I suppose it's important, these free tutorials, in exchange for getting free makeup from major manufacturers. All good. And then I started to think it through. I don't see any men showing us how they dress. I've never seen one video on TikTok of a guy showing us how he picks his socks, his shoes, saying, look at these shoes. Aren't they cute? I've never seen a guy do that. I've never seen a guy putting on makeup, explaining why he chose that tie. No, it's an entirely different world. What do guys show? They show pictures of themselves riding a bicycle, crashing into the side of a building and getting casts and in the hospital. Guy videos always show them after an injury in the hospital. I don't know why, but that's usually what the guy videos show. But that's what happens on TikTok, and that's what I watch on TikTok. Now, there's another category on TikTok that says music. There's TikTok music. I've never gone to TikTok music because I have no interest in music. Ready? Discovery. I have no interest in music. Discovery. I don't want to hear really interesting new bands. The last interesting new band I listened to is Sitting on Stacy. Sitting on Stacy is the best new band. Incredibly great band. We've had terrific interviews with Sitting on Stacy. You want to hear new music? Listen to Sitting on Stacy. That's all you have to know. You'll be cool to your kids, cool to your coworkers. You will enjoy the music because it has 60s rhythms and beats. And I know how old you are because I got tons of research about who you are. I know you can't get up and change the station. And really, should you be driving? Should you be? But there's a reason that you and I and most Americans have no interest in new music. There is a important, significant reason, and I'll share it with you in just seconds. Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling, live on the radio. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Anna Kendrick.
So, and now there's a scene in the movie that I understand was pretty uncomfortable. You guys were in the shower together.
Uncomfortable. It was the best day of my life.
All right, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Just going over the very big news once again. I mean, it really is shocking news that a rap star whose first name is Killer was taken out of the Grammys in handcuffs. His first name was Killer, and he was removed from the Grammys in handcuffs. I can't imagine how there could be trouble. Imagine walking through the karma with the name Killer. Now, he won a bunch of Grammys. God bless him. Good for you. Can't imagine how hard that is. But then, you know, once you get to the grown-up table at the Grammys and you're sitting in this big arena, you probably just want to keep your hands in your lap, not misbehave in any way. Thank everybody profusely. Thank your agent. And thank God for this great gift I've been given. Thank you, Jesus, and my mother. And then everybody applauds and everybody sits down and said, this guy whose first name is Killer, who won Grammys, he gets arrested tonight. At the poorly named Crypto.com casino. That's what it is. The Crypto.com arena. Oh, gosh. All right, coming up, we have a very powerful report from James Copeland. You remember James? He now is the morning man in Coffeyville, Kansas. Just hold that thought. He's the morning man in Coffeyville, Kansas. I only go up for my interviews. I only get to people at a higher level. Plus, you and I are going to get every question answered by Mitchell Mack of Colette Travel about the trip to the Riviera. All the questions you've had, all the vague, strange doubts you've had, these will be erased today when we talk to Mitchell Mack of Colette Travel. But there's a reason why you and I do not participate in music discovery. And it goes back millions of years to the Stone Ages, when Boris and Gunther were sitting around the Antediluvian Lake. They were sitting around the Antediluvian Lake, and it was dusk. The sun was starting to go down. And every day, one of them sitting around the Antediluvian Lake, every one of them, they had an agreement where one of them would get up, walk down the same path, and look for food. They'd head to the lake, they'd look down the path, and they'd head for the lake, and they would start to gather food and berries and nuts. And as they walked down there, they knew that they'd be able to get back safely because they went down the same path every night. Every night they'd go down the same path. They'd collect berries, twigs, sticks. They'd see a dead squirrel. They'd bring that back. They'd cook it on their little fire on the shores of the Antediluvian Lake. They would look at the sunset, and they'd feel safe in their own terrifyingly not safe environment, where anything moved could eat them. Anything that moved could come up and eat them. Then one day, Gunther made a very strange decision. Gunther said, well, rather than walk down to the lake on that path, the path that we've always gone down, I'm going to take a different path. I'm going to go this way. I think this might be a shorter way to take the path to the lake.
Well, you can't. No one's ever gone down that way. No one's gone to the lake that way. You can't do that.
He said, well,
you know,
using the four words he knew, he goes,
new.
He learned new somewhere. You know, a dinosaur taught him new. This is millions of years ago. Millions of years ago. And he decided to take a new path to the lake. No one had ever taken it before. The brush was high. No one knew if there were snakes, bear, boars, woolly mammoths. Nobody knew. But no one had ever taken it before. But he decided to be like, you know, a cutting edge guy. A cutting edge guy. He takes his club. He heads down there. And no one had ever been on this before. And therefore, he was a little afraid. The rest of them sitting around the fire back at the encampment, they're like, they're very worried about whether or not Gunther is ever going to come back. They were a little concerned. No one had ever gone down this path before. And now it's about, you know, an hour. They don't have clocks, so their clocks aren't very accurate a million years ago, but they had a clock. And it's about an hour. And finally, out of nowhere, in the dead silence of the evening, on the shore of this antediluvian lake, out of nowhere, they hear this terrifying, horrific scream, this unbelievable scream, and then nothing. And no more rustling on the trail, no more, I might be coming back, nothing. We never saw Gunther again. He was gone. We never saw Gunther again. And what is the lesson? The reason why you and I are here, the reason why we survived, is because everybody went down the familiar path to the lake. Nobody dared take a new path because what would have happened to Gunther. We are genetically encoded. We are physically and mentally encoded to only go on the familiar path. We only want familiar music. We have no interest in music discovery because it could lead to our deaths. Unfamiliar anything is high risk in terms of the survival of human beings. That's why one of the cruelest things that people say is, well, I like new music. I really like new music. No, you don't. There's about 1.5% of Americans who are willing to actually listen to new music and get into it. They're the ones who say, well, you know, why don't they play more songs on this channel? Why are they only playing the same ones over and over again? It's because that's all we like. We only want to hear the same ones over and over again. The dirty secret about Apple Music is this. Their most popular feature on there is not shuffle. Their most popular feature on there isn't discovery. The most popular feature on Apple iTunes is single song repeat. The same song over and over and over again, just like a 14-year-old girl in her bedroom. That's who we are, my friend. Coming up, you and I are going to talk to James Copeland from Coffeyville, Kansas. There's nothing else like this show. It's live on Sunday night. An honor to be with you. I'm Walter Sterling. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by Ben from Lost.
When did you start sleeping with a bottle of scotch by the bed?
When the nightmares started.
Good evening, Walter Sterling, live on Sunday night at 37, 47, and 57. We have Lesbians in Space. Lesbians in Space on the 7s. Plus, in just seconds, James Copeland with a live report from Coffeyville, Kansas. This is Sterling on Sunday with Dr. Dave Iser.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Buckeye State, pharmacy, stabbing, people of Walmart later, Sterling at night.
Everybody knows someone with unusual quirks. Let's talk about it. I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk host, and I'll be stopping by later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I share a story about the time I got pulled over as a rookie cop. And instead of getting a ticket, it led to a friendship that went back many years that led to a lot of useful information. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. With the death of a rabbit this week, we have no more pets in the house. Except for the robotic vacuum, which I like better than any pet.
Sometimes he even pets him and says, good boy.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tekla, the noseless stripper. Details later. Strippers on Loose. Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bras?
So you'd like me to look after your mother for a day to see how I do?
No, my mother is with my sister who's moving abroad, which is why she's coming to stay here for a while.
Mm-hmm. Who would I be looking after then?
Me.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
All right, good evening. Walter Sterling live on the radio with James Copeland. James is based in Coffeyville, Kansas. He's the morning man on the dominant radio station in Coffeyville, Kansas. More importantly, for many years, he was the key production wizard for Sterling on Sunday, and I miss him very, very much. And now I wanted to get an update on life in Coffeyville, Kansas, and life in your resurrected RV. James, how you doing?
Hey, doing well, Walter. And yes, we are live on the mighty 690 KGGF right now, so it all works out.
I'm honored that you encouraged management owners to put Sterling on Sunday on this radio station. It has a giant signal across the Great Plains. And what is the temperature exactly, James?
You know, it's been in kind of the low 50s today, and we're going to be going down, I think, into the 30s tonight. Had some rain and all that sort of thing. So, but yeah, we had some warm temperatures here this past week, which I was very happy about. It's good to be able to break the shorts out on February 2nd. So we're kind of in some call it the banana belt of the area. Southeast Kansas, for whatever strange reason, always seems to be quite a bit warmer than the rest of the state.
Now, James Copeland, on your morning show, would you play a drop like this? Of course I don't have it. Yes, I have it. I played it. Where'd it go? That's weird. Oh, I know what I did. You know, see, this is why I need professional help at all time, and I don't mean the psychiatrist. This clip, would you play this?
Do you realize that because of you, this city is being overrun by baboons?
Well, isn't that the fault of the voters?
Isn't that the finest drop you've ever heard?
Oh, yeah, that's wonderful. No, we would absolutely do that. What we did here on Friday was, since I had recently gotten back from Arizona, I brought back a wide variety of strange Mexican foods, and we tried them on the air, and everything but one was terrible. I mean, it was surprisingly bad. So, yeah, that's what we did for about 15 or 20 minutes. So, yeah, it's anything and everything, and then if people call me, I'm kind of like the local internet, it would seem. So if people have a question, they just call, and we try to figure it out.
Now, about the internet, are you aware of these high-level, high-pressure hearings in Washington about social media? Have you heard about this?
Yeah, I've heard there's some distant rumblings.
They all seem to believe that TikTok is owned by Chinese, and the Chinese are monitoring all of their subscriber behavior. But let's say they have, it's a lot, like they have 500 million, a billion users on TikTok. Who's going to go through all that data? Who's going to buy? Who in China is going to go through all that data? And what could it possibly mean to them? Whereas I believe very strongly that none of this matters. You go on Facebook.
No, I mean, your rank and file people here, it doesn't matter at all. You know, the biggest story that we've had here in Coffeyville is the fact that we got a Wendy's. And so, I mean, they basically almost threw a parade for it. It was very exciting. I mean, the days and days were talked about it. And still, I even have listeners here. Everyone knows where I live, of course. So it was like 6 o'clock the other night, and there was a knock on my door, and it's one of the listeners with a bowl of Wendy's chili for me.
Chocolate or vanilla shake?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I can't ever remember which one came first, but I think the chocolate is the original.
Do you know the trick that they have about the sizes of those shakes?
No.
If you say a small, it's pretty big. If you really want a small, you say, I want a child size shake. A child size shake looks like what you would think a small shake is. Whereas a small is both priced and looks like a medium to me. These are the rabbit hole of Wendy's. Now, have you had their, what are those? They make those, the fries with the cheese on them. And the cheese and the
Baconator fries.
The Baconator. Yep. Have you tried that, James?
No, but I do have a coupon for them, so I will be checking that out very, very soon.
I think it's fair to say that the only thing at Wendy's worth the trouble is the Baconator. Now, because it's new and it's Wendy's, is there a long line at the drive-thru window?
In fact, sometimes the police have to get out there and help with traffic. It's so bad. So it actually stretches out through the drive-thru onto the street, sometimes backs up to the main street, and it's kind of a disaster. So they're working it out, and we're just waiting on it for it to die down and be a little bit easier to get in and out.
James Copeland, Morning Man on our Giant affiliate in Coffeyville, Kansas. Since you've been a Morning Man in Coffeyville for a little over a year now, or is it two?
Just over a year, about a year and a half or so.
A year and a half. Has there anything happened that surprises you? Is there anything about the job you did not anticipate that makes you very happy?
Well, I do kind of love the fact that, you know, we might not even be asking for something in particular, but I can just start talking about something, and sometimes within a few minutes, that item will show up at the radio station. For instance, I was talking about how there were an abundance of crows in the RV park where I live, and there were too many crows, and I was like, man, it would be kind of neat to have one of those plastic owls to maybe see if that worked. And within a few minutes, a plastic owl arrived into the lobby.
That's certainly no surprise to me. Now, about the RV, you have an RV from the 1970s, is that right?
That's right. It's a 1975 Winnebago Indian.
How has the renovation gone? Are you done renovating it? Is it working up to your expectations?
Yeah, it's working pretty good. The only thing, you know, we did have a cold snap here a little bit ago, and it got down to 24 below as far as the wind chill went. But I did actually put some kind of foam skirting around, and since I do have free electricity here, I was able to get the bathroom up to about 90 degrees, and that seemed to keep the pipes thaw. So I was pretty impressed with myself.
Does the RV park provide electricity? Is that how you get free electricity?
Oh, yeah. It's all you can use, so I make full use of that.
Do they also have free coffee in the morning and a buffet on Sundays?
Oh, no. There's no amenities as far as a washroom or anything. It's a little rustic in that aspect. But, hey, for the price, you can't beat it.
Now, I'm sure in Coffeyville it is a tightly knit media community. Have the other hosts on TV and radio accepted you into their community?
So we don't have any TV to speak of. You know, something would have to blow up in order for the TV stations to bother coming, so they don't really bother with it. You know, we have newspapers that are typically run by 1 to 3 people, and, you know, we have a cordial relationship with those, and then we have the radio station, so we're kind of dominant around here. There's not much competition.
Have you been sued for slander yet?
Not yet, no. We're trying to keep that from happening.
And the owners, have they come to accept you, or because are they still just in shock that you're there?
Oh no, they love me, you know? they're great. So they're always coming around and messing around with stuff. So they're very hands on.
Does that mean they get involved with, say, music selection?
Oh no, that's a good thing. It's pretty much the great thing about that is as long as the spots and everything play, we can pretty much have free reign.
Now, here's a story that you're going to run with tomorrow. because it can be applied to many, many things, and I think you'll figure it out. Here's the headline. After 30 years of rule, Egyptian pharaohs had to run a race to prove physical fitness. Egyptian pharaohs were seen by their subjects as gods, but sometimes these gods had to prove their worth. This occurred at a jubilee-style celebration meant to reaffirm an aging ruler's kingship, known as the Hepsut or Sed festival. The tradition dates back to the very first dynasty of Egypt, about 3000 BC. After 30 years, the Egyptian pharaohs, otherwise known as gods, had to actually perform a race to prove that they were worthy. And the thing is, because they were kings and they'd been in power for 30 years, these guys were not gazelles. They didn't always get to keep their kingdom because they couldn't run the race. Is this the best story?
No, oh, that's great. Yeah, I mean, they had to actually stay in shape a little bit, too.
True. Well, James Copeland, you're a great friend of the show. You're a great friend of mine. Now, you can see James's handiwork right now if you go to waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com, and right on the top of the page, on the section on the French Riviera, James has updated a Zoom link that you'll want to go to on February 7th to learn everything you could ever imagine about our trip to the French Riviera. This is all courtesy of James Copeland, Morning Man in Coffeyville, Kansas. Any final words, James?
Well, if you're looking for a good morning show and you're in the Forest State area, listen to the Mighty 690.
690 AM, Giant Signal with James. And you're a good friend of mine and a good friend of the show. Thank you very much, James Copeland, for being on Sterling on Sunday and for carrying Sterling on Sunday through the great state of Kansas. Coming up in just seconds, more Lesbians in Space and Keith Fonz from The Coldest Place on the Planet.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Judge Shapiro.
I was looking up the names of the eight. I'm so angry that we're even in this situation at this point in time.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Who wears sports bra?
Mrs. Bougeau, are you trying to seduce me? Genevieve. Mm-hmm. Your husband's in the next room. I saw you looking at me. Please tell me I wasn't wrong. I can't lose my job. I can't afford to lose my job. Trust me. You won't lose your job.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Alien Life with Benefits.
David and Tekla. They said it was a love that was never going to end. Tekla was left by David. 2 weeks later, David decides he's going to come back and woo Tekla. And he finds out she has a brand new job. She's an exotic dancer. And unfortunately, he didn't react well to it. You see, David Morin Jr. Took it out on poor Tekla. Bit off part of her nose. This happened in San Antonio. Good news is, exotic dancers make pretty good money, so hopefully they'll be able to do a little plastic surgery to make that schnoz look normal. David, likely going to jail. So when you go to your strip clubs in the San Antonio area, you see that gal, tip her extra, because she needs plastic surgery. From the Champagne Room, this is Vilo Hool. Strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
All right, 888-688-WALT. I can't think of anything more ridiculous than Congress actually having hearings about social media. I don't want Congress involved in my use of social media. Now, what do I do when I go on social media? When I go on TikTok, what do? I look at TikToks made by Emily. What the heck's her last name? Emily Billings. A beautiful young woman who lives in Jersey City, Hoboken. And even more amazing is a consulting engineer to a big shot engineering firm. She's a trained, educated engineer. I don't know what kind. And she does makeup online on videos, TikTok videos. So we see Emily Billings putting on makeup. And no matter what she puts on, she's gorgeous. And no matter what she puts on, it seems I can buy it in her store if I use the code name Emily. And then across the river in Lower Manhattan is Anna Barger, who is a freelance video creator who worked at places like The Tonight Show or Colbert or one of those places. But she had cool jobs from Florida. Here's a Florida girl in Manhattan working in media. Oh, my gosh. And both of them have cool jobs and they're single. And they show us, one of them shows us how they buy socks and shoes. I've never been more fascinated than watching Anna Barger put on socks and shoes. And she says, look at these shoes. Aren't they cute? I'm like, yeah, they're really cute. And then I'm like, why am I watching this? What? I can't tell my daughters I'm watching these two young women put on makeup and shoes. I can't say, gee, I admire their editing techniques. I'm trying to learn about editing. No, I have no idea why I watch. And then there are fun couples like Hannah and Hunter and Anna or something. And so there's a fun couple and funny couples. That's what I watch. I don't watch TikTok music. I'm not going to listen to TikTok music or learn anything new. I'm not going to go to a TikTok store. I just watch stupid videos of people 18 to 20 years of age. And then I have this sound in my head. 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. Coming up in seconds, we're going to learn every single thing we need to know about going to the French Riviera.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Good evening. You and I are live on the radio on a Sunday night. There's nothing else live. That's why it's thrilling. Plus, accurate weather for the overnight and Monday morning with Dr. Dave Iser.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Buckeye State, pharmacy, stabbing, people of Walmart later, Sterling at night.
Everybody knows someone with unusual quirks. Let's talk about it. I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk host, and I'll be stopping by later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I share a story about the time I got pulled over as a rookie cop. And instead of getting a ticket, it led to a friendship that went back many years that led to a lot of useful information. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. With the death of a rabbit this week, we have no more pets in the house. Except for the robotic vacuum, which I like better than any pet.
Sometimes he even pets him and says, good boy.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bras?
Mrs. Bourgeau, are you trying to seduce me? Genevieve? Mm-hmm. Your husband's in the next room. I saw you looking at me. Please tell me I wasn't wrong. I can't lose my job. I can't afford to lose my job. Trust me. You won't lose your job.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
Mitchell Mack has fulfilled a fantasy of mine that I've had for 10 years. I've been doing Sterling on Sunday live on Sunday nights for 10 years. Yes, that's just because so many major radio executives are sound asleep. They're paying no attention. I get away with everything. I don't get away with some things. I get away with everything. Oh, and besides, it's Walter, so it must be all right. And one of my fantasies is to meet you, is to spend time with you. And I've tried a number of ways to do it. And Colette Travel came to me and said, well, we can do that for you. And you keep talking about Monaco. and the topless beaches and the French Riviera. And it's where you got engaged to your wife, Katie, the most patient woman on earth. We can put together a premium group, small group vacation for you and a select group of listeners. I said, you got to do it. Put it together. Mitchell Mack and his higher ups put together an incredible 9-day trip to the French Riviera for us, you and me, Midnight Misfits. It's not in some big catalog, you know, choose this. No, no. It's a beautiful brochure made just for Sterling on Sunday. I've sent out many of them now. And they put together this trip to the French Riviera in October. Plenty of time. Mitchell Mack is on the phone. Now, this is unbelievable because he always likes to name drop. Well, you know, I'm very busy today. I have to talk to the people at ESPN. Okay. No, you have to talk to me, Mitchell. Me. We've put together this package, and I'm very grateful to Colette for this great trip that they've put together with you and me. You and I are going to the French Riviera in October. And that means you've got questions. The way you get the answers to the questions is one of two things. Either you can call right now and ask Mitchell questions, or there's going to be a Zoom call on February 7th. Ask your kids how to set up the Zoom call. You and I are going to have a Zoom call where Mitchell, who's very good looking, will be on the Zoom call and answer all of your questions because he is a premium travel expert. There is nobody better than Mitchell Mack. Now, Mitchell, we'll have a conversation, but first I want you to give us a headline, a bullet point, which is exactly why should a listener sign up for this trip. Give me one great reason why we need to go to the French Riviera.
Well, hey, Walter, first off, appreciate the kind words. I actually have more of a face for radio, but that's neither here nor there. And I'm happy to be on the show and hang out with the Misfits for a little bit here. I mean, if I had to just give you a headline, I would say 9 days in the French Riviera. Sold. If I was going to expand on it a little bit more, you know, you have 7 nights, 9 days down in the stunning Riviera, one hotel stay, staying in the Radisson Blue, and it's a stone throws away from the beach and the beautiful Mediterranean. You know, you have beaches, you have villas, you have incredible food. Oh, and don't get me started on the wine, some of the best wine in the entire world down there in the French Riviera. So yeah, we're excited to be able to offer this trip to the listeners and excited to walk them through, you know, the entire itinerary February 7th on the Zoom meeting at 7 p.m.
Zoom call 7 p.m. The link right now is posted at waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com. And if that's a problem and I understand it, send me an email and I'll send you the link. Send the email to waltermsterling@gmail.com, waltermsterling@gmail.com. Ask for the link. I will send it to you. I will personally handle this because it's too important. As I told you, I got engaged in the waters of Monaco. I walked out into the water. My wife was shocked that I went into the water. I never go into the water. What do you mean you're going into the water? Yeah, I think I'm going to go in the water. Why don't you come with me? And she was like, okay, buddy. We walk into the water of Monaco where there are no waves. It's just like a lake. It's beautiful. It's incredibly beautiful. And I pretended to step on something. And I slowly pulled it up, got on my knees in the waters of the Mediterranean and asked her to marry me. The photo of that event was taken about 8 seconds after it happened by a French guy on the beach. And that photo is in the brochure that I want to send you. Of me and Katie. We can't wait to meet you and spend time with you. This is the bucket list trip. And I don't want the numbers. Don't give the numbers. But I was stunned at the price because I know what it costs to spend a week at the Jersey Shore. I know what it costs to spend a week in Miami. I know what it costs to spend a week in Santa Monica. This is cheaper and it's better because it's the French Riviera. Now, Mitchell will answer any questions you've got now or on the Zoom call. Here's my phone number now, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258, 888-688-WALT. And in just seconds, Mitchell will go through the day-to-day steps of what is going to be experienced on this incredible vacation on the French Riviera. That's coming up in just seconds. Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling live. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Judge Judy.
You have nice people who invite you for Thanksgiving dinner a month in advance, and then you spring on them the morning that you're coming. We have to bring the dog. It's wonderful with babies. It's wonderful. It doesn't even bark. Do you understand? That's real gall. That's real gall. I'm saying this to the tens of millions of people who will watch this program in repeats, originals, whenever, when I'm long gone. If you're invited to someone's home for an event, and especially if it's a stranger, don't bring or ask to bring your dog.
Mitchell Mack is a big executive at Colette Travel, a premium vacation service that's put together a small group vacation for you and me, Midnight Misfits. We're going to finally meet. I've wanted to do this for years. My wife, Katie, has agreed to be seen with me. I'm shocked. And we're going to have a great time on the French Riviera. Mitchell, it's all yours. Go through day by day some of the things that you and I can experience, and that is a reason to sign up for this trip.
Yes, sir, absolutely. So I would start off with saying, you know, high level, this is an escorted tour. So whenever I describe it, I like to think of it as thought-free travel, because when the listeners wake up every single morning, they don't have to worry about mapping out and trying to plan each individual day. You know, do we have to rent a car? You know, who loses rock, paper, scissors to see who has to drive the car that day? You don't have to worry about securing museum tickets, making restaurant reservations, because we take care of all of it for you. So it truly is no frills. You mentioned this is a very much a bucket list type trip. You know, we're not slumming it by any means. We're not staying in any Motel 6s out in the boondocks. We're staying in a premium property, the Radisson Blu Hotel. And every single day we're going out, and it's new and different on tour. You know, it's not just the cookie cutter, seeing the generic things. Every single day we're connecting the listeners with the local culture. We're helping to introduce them to the food scene. We're teaching them about the wine and not just consuming the wine. When we go and visit a spectacular vineyard included with a lunch, and anywhere that there's a meal that we include in the itinerary, tips are included for those meals as well. So it's a very inclusive product. It's a bucket list destination, and you're doing things like going and visiting, you know, Monaco, which is one of the most spectacular cities in the entire world. A little bit expensive. If you want to live there, you got to have millions, not hundreds of thousands, but an amazing place to go and spend an entire day. Going and seeing the Monte Carlo Casino, one of the most iconic and famous casinos in the entire world. And then we're visiting, you know, villas. We visit Villa Rothschild and see the incredible gardens, have an incredible lunch at the villa. All the food is prepared, you know, fresh farm to table at the villa. We're visiting, you know, museums along the way. And it's just so much stunning natural beauty, because we're essentially, the trip is mostly right along the coastline. So food-wise, France is known as having some of the very best food, not just in Europe, but in the entire world, in my opinion. So being on the coastline, you know, you can expect to see a lot of fantastic seafood, seaside diners overlooking the water. And having traveled to France twice now in my career with Colette, I know the French do one thing very, very well, and that's their desserts. So you can expect to have some of the best, you know, creme brulee, crepes, macaroons, chocolate souffle. And trust me, I've tried it. There's no calories. There's no carbs. There's no sugar in any of it. So have seconds, fabulous. Have thirds for that matter.
Fabulous. And go on, because you've just started to describe some of the things we're going to experience. Please continue, Mitchell Mack of Colette Travel. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we do St. Paul de Vinci, it's this beautiful medieval museum. So you don't always think, you know, medieval when it comes to France, but it's almost a hidden gem down there in the Riviera, where you've got, you know, this medieval village surrounded by walls that are hundreds of years old that you can walk on top of, get an amazing panoramic view of the city and just see that unique and medieval architecture. When we go to Cannes, this is where they perform one of the biggest film festivals every single year. They're doing it this year in May of 2024, where essentially everyone from the film industry gets together and they preview some of the new films on the horizon, docs from all over the world. It's a huge to-do and the big claim to fame when it comes to Cannes. And then, you know, wine tasting. We have a boat trip included when we go to San Harat Island for not just a wine tasting, but a very beautiful and scenic boat trip. And chances are we're going to have pretty darn good weather on that day, because Nice and the south of France, they get on average about 300 days of sunshine a year, which I know this show is pretty spread out. You and I are here in Ohio, and we'll take any day of sunshine that we can get, that's for sure. And then a perfume shop. You know, we visit the hilltop town of Grasset, and their big claim to fame is they are the world's capital of perfume. This is essentially where the perfume industry, you know, exploded, got its start, dating all the way back to 1782. And they've got some very high-end perfumes. I know the ladies always enjoy the trip to Grasset because they have a chance to melt a little bit of plastic and swipe that credit card for some high-end, nice perfumes to take back as a souvenir.
I love that expression. I love the expression, melt a little plastic. That's a new one, Mitchell. Now, I want you to be able to go on, but you need to go on the Zoom call. Now, please tell us about the Zoom call coming up on the 7th.
Yeah, the Zoom call is going to take place the 7th at 7 p.m. It's going to be me hosting it. It's going to be a full PowerPoint presentation. So it's not just going to be, you know, Mitch talking about the trip. I'm actually going to be showing pictures, going, you know, through day by day, each individual town, city that we visit. And I'd love to think that, you know, I'm so charismatic that people are going to sign up for the trip just because I say it's nice. No, I've learned in my 8.5 years that that's not the case, that it's really the pictures of the destination that really pique people's interest. So I'm going to walk everyone through, you know, a little bit about Colette, our 106-year history, how we've been taking people all over the world since 1918, what they can expect to experience on a Colette tour, and then the majority of it will be going through the day-by-day itinerary, and then it's going to be live. So I'll open it up to any and all questions, make sure that everyone's comfortable with this incredible bucket list experience, and if anyone's not able to attend, don't worry. I'm going to be recording it as well, and we're going to put it up on the Walter Sterling Show website as well, so you can go back and rewatch.
To get the link to this Zoom call, which is on February 7th, this coming week at 6 p.m., February 7th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, go to waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com. Right at the top of the section on the French Riviera is the link for the Zoom call, February 7th at 6 p.m. And if that's a pain or you don't want to do it in bed, I understand. Send me an email tomorrow, waltermsterling@gmail.com, waltermsterling@gmail.com, and I will personally send you that link. You can then participate in the Zoom call with me, but more importantly, Mitchell Mack, a hotshot with Colette Travel, a premium travel vacation packager that's put this together just for misfits, just for freaks like you and me. It's a small group tour. It's not 10 buses, one hotel. That, to me, I swear, I'm so lazy. That was the most important thing to me, Mitchell. It's like, is it going to be more than one? Oh, it's one hotel. I'm in. I'm good. 9 days in one hotel. You're a great guy, Mitchell Mack, and we look forward to the Zoom call this February 7th, this week, at 6 p.m. Eastern. Get the Zoom link at waltersterlingshow.com. It's there right now. It has been updated by the genius James Copeland. This is a full, dramatic, incredible show. Are you proud to be associated with Sterling on Sunday? I know you like to talk about ESPN, but who cares about that, Mitchell?
No, I'm absolutely thrilled to partner with you. Walter is a, you know, you're a fantastic guy, and your listeners are very spoiled. That's for sure. And I appreciate all of the kind words and look forward to maybe putting some faces to names on the Zoom call on the 7th with all of your fine listeners.
All right. Thank you very much for being with us tonight. Mitchell Mack of Colette Travel put together this spectacular bucket list trip to the French Riviera coming up this October. And coming up in just seconds, the spectacular, gifted Kendall Toby, who's sitting there at KXNT in Las Vegas, who's going to share with us stories about Girl Scout cookies. All of that and you coming up in just seconds. Plus, I've got Dave Scott, who's an expert on UFOs at midnight, because I know that at midnight, that's really all that anybody wants to talk about is UFOs. And then we'll talk about being an introvert and the challenges of living as an introvert. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Amy Robach.
I have chosen love in my life, and I'm very excited about that path. I'm living my truth. There has been a price to pay, but I'm excited about the future.
There has been a price to pay. You've alienated your children, and you lost your big shot ABC job. But good for you. You just keep going on that selfish path to life. But I digress. Dr. Dave and the weather.
Sterling on Sunday. Coming up,
Buckeye State, pharmacy, stabbing, people of Walmart later, Sterling at night.
Everybody knows someone with unusual quirks. Let's talk about it. I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk host, and I'll be stopping by later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I share a story about the time I got pulled over as a rookie cop. And instead of getting a ticket, it led to a friendship that went back many years that led to a lot of useful information. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. With the death of a rabbit this week, we have no more pets in the house. Except for the robotic vacuum, which I like better than any pet.
Sometimes he even pets him and says, good boy.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bras?
Oh, my God, no. We can't do this again.
Oh, yeah, it's a horrible mistake.
Well, I wouldn't say horrible.
I'm agreeing with you.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
Oh my gosh, there's Kendall Toby. Kendall was quite a famous character in Sacramento on KFBK during the Pat Walsh Show, which I had the privilege of guest starring on several times, and yet never a phone call from Pat Walsh ever saying, hey, Walter, thank you for doing it. Good job. I'm sorry I was sick. You came in at the last minute like a pro. No, not a word. Nevertheless, Kendall was his producer and control board operator. It's particularly stupid when people who have the privilege of running a control board call themselves board ops. No one knows what that is. I'll see it on LinkedIn. I'll write board op. Like, no one knows what that means. Control board operator. That is a prestigious title. It's important work. People like me are useless without a great control board operator. Now, Kendall decided to move for reasons that are a mystery from Sacramento, where she was a queen, to Las Vegas. And she was seduced into seeing the Magic Mike show in Las Vegas. Would you tell us how that happened, please, Kendall?
Hey, Walter. Yes, this is me, Kendall Toby, right here, Sterling on Sunday, reporting live from Las Vegas. And yes, I was just at Sahara Casino the other day, and a group of gals came up to me, and they they just loved my look. They loved my outfit. And they came up and they said, oh, you're just so pretty. We just love your outfit. We love your fashion. Please let us buy you a drink. And I said, oh, okay, sure. And during our conversation while I was having my drink with them, they told me all about the Magic Mike show that they just went to. And they told me that I needed to go immediately. And they told me, Walter, they told me that I was going to have a great time and that I was going to get grinded on. And I've never been to a show like this before in my whole life. So it was very flattering, also a little embarrassing, but it was also really funny having all these women come up to me and tell me all about how much they love that show.
Oh. And you went to see the show.
Yes, and it was a lot of fun. But yeah, I'd never done anything like that. I'd never seen a Chippendales. I'd never seen a Magic Mike. And so that was a first for me here in Las Vegas.
Well, Kendall Toby in Las Vegas, how magical was Mike?
Extremely magical. I've never had anything quite like that before. Never gotten a private dance like that before.
How many women were in the audience?
It was probably 95% women. And
but how many?
A few guys.
How many?
Like 400, 500, I want to say.
This was a hit show.
Yes.
And how uncomfortable were you?
Well, when they came up really close to me, I did get a little bit shy because everyone's kind of staring at you. But I'm glad that I did it. And I can say that I've gotten that, you know, on my bucket list. One thing I really want to do, though, is your trip to the French Riviera. That's the bucket list that I want to do next.
I've been there twice. And it is better than I imagined. It is one of the few things to experience that you have it in your mind what it's like, and it's better.
Yeah.
It is the purpose of the French Riviera is to it's so immersive that you imagine you're actually rich. It isn't one of those great vacations where you go, gee, I wish I had more money. No, you'll actually believe the illusion that you're rich. And you'll never have better food. You'll never have better weather. And the beaches are really topless. It gave me a new reason to hate French guys, because here's how it works. In New Jersey, where I grew up, in New Jersey, the way a woman's top comes off is after 6 months of begging. And many expensive meals and being really nice to her parents. So in the French Riviera, here's how it works. A man could be sitting next to a woman at work or in college, sitting next to her all day. And then at around 3:30, 4, he'll look at her and go, do you want to go to the beach with me? Should we go to the beach now? And she will go, yeah, sure, I'll go to the beach. And they run to the beach. They go to the beach. He sits down. She sits next to him. And she takes off her top. Just like that. He didn't have to buy her a French fry. And she's naked next to him on the beach. That's a reason to hate French guys right there. Now,
yes.
Kendall, what was the other story you wanted to tell me? You had another story.
Yeah, I wanted to let you know, you guys know, that I just went to the Pinball Hall of Fame again.
Oh,
it's
yes.
One of my
the Pinball Hall of Fame. Set the scene. Set the picture. How big is this?
Okay.
How filled was it? What do they have at the Pinball Hall of Fame?
Well, it's a museum of a lot of old pinball machines, and they recently moved it about 2 years ago to a, now they're on the strip. They used to be off strip. So they have a much larger building now. They were able to add 700 more machines. And I was so excited because I love pinball machines. And so I've gone probably about 6 or 7 times now. And my last interaction, it was pretty scary, Walter. I went in there and it's very large. And it was pretty busy that day. There was a lot of people around, a lot of kids and a lot of people. And I walked in with my camera, which I've done several times before.
And I walked in and I was taking some photos of some of the really vintage machines that I love. And all of a sudden, one of the staff comes out and she just starts screaming and yelling at me. And she says, get that camera out of here. No cameras allowed. And she starts freaking out. And I'm going, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize there was no cameras allowed. And she said, yes, it's right over there, right on the sign. And I said, excuse me, what sign? You know, I've been in here before. I work in the media. I work for a radio station. And I've been in here several times before, and I've never had a problem. What are you talking about? And she points to the sign. I couldn't see it. There were so many people. It was so busy. They were all standing in front of the sign. It said no camera. And I said, I'm so sorry. And she continued to yell at me. And she was really having a public freak out. And I just said, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't know. And so I gathered my stuff and I was getting ready to leave. And then I saw her screaming and yelling at all these children to stop playing and to not play any of the machines and to just slow down. And she was yelling at the parents and stuff. And I just thought, wow, maybe it was just a bad day for this lady. And but later on, I went on to look at all the reviews for the Pinball Hall of Fame. And apparently, Walter, this is how a lot of the children and a lot of the people are treated there. So if you guys ever go to Las Vegas and you're thinking about going to the Pinball Hall of Fame on the Strip, just be a little bit careful, because they have a tendency to yell and scream at people, and they don't want you running around playing. They really treat it like a museum, and you're not really supposed to have a lot of fun. Also, the majority of the machines are not working. So,
well, did you think you could play them, or did you think it was a museum where you wouldn't be able to play anything?
Well, you can play them, but so many of them are broken to where you can't play them. Unfortunately, so they should be working, but a lot of them have a lot of problems, and they're trying to fix them.
Well, I'm amazed that there is a pinball museum. I'm very impressed that you like have been there more than once. You've been in Vegas only a couple months, and you've been to this museum more than once, but you haven't gone to the Liberace Museum, have you?
No.
You haven't gone to the Debbie Reynolds Museum. You haven't been to the Debbie Reynolds Museum.
No, I did go to the Neon Museum with all of the cool old neon signs, and I went to the Mob Museum. And that was a lot of fun.
That is pretty cool. All right, now, Kendall Toby, what's the spelling of your name so we can see you on Facebook and start bonding with you one-to-one?
I am Kendall Toby on Facebook. That's K-E-N-D-A-L-L, and my last name, Toby, T-O-B-E. That's Kendall Toby here on Sterling on Sunday, reporting live from Las Vegas.
Do you realize that because of you, this city is being overrun by baboons?
Well, isn't that the fault of the voters?
Live on Sunday night, this is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Scarlett Johansson.
Are you meeting the Cheerios or what? And she was like, it's Mama on the box. And I was just like, oh, I'll show you the Cheerios.
And don't forget my name. My name is Baba Yaga. Good night, my dear. And don't forget my name. My name is Baba Yaga.
Well, here we are. It's just you and me.
Do you realize that because of you, this city is being overrun by baboons?
Well, isn't that the fault of the voters?
Welcome home. It's Sterling on Sunday. It's the only time where you and I get to be in a zone of radio where nobody is screaming at the Democrats. Now, there are important things to scream about, such as cell phone companies and banks. In passing, one of the candidates for president said that he was going to stop banks from debanking us. Well, it turns out that that is a very real phenomenon, that people like you and me are being canceled by their bank for reasons that are never explained. And Sherrod Brown is an Ohio senator, and he's on the Senate Banking Subcommittee with Elizabeth Warren. And his job is to take care of you and me relative to banks and to make sure that all the bank regulations are proper and in online. I called his office twice and asked for him to come on this show and talk to you and me about being debanked. Now, what happened to me was beyond disgusting. In August, I was filling up my tank with gas. I was trying to fill my tank up with gas, and I was in a very rural situation. There wasn't much else around besides this gas station, and I needed gas, and the card was declined. Now, I knew there was money in that account, and that alone is news. That alone should be headline news. Sterling's account has money in it. That should have been the news. But the fact is that the card wouldn't work, and it was a Saturday. And it didn't matter who I called, because when I'd called the number on the back of the card, well, these are not our hours. And it was like noon on a Saturday, but God forbid any bank be available at noon on a Saturday. It turns out on Monday, when I called my banker at Chase, oh, gee, Mr. Sterling, we're sorry to tell you, the bank thinks you're dead. Our algorithms think you're dead. That's why the card wasn't declined. It was closed. I mean, what do you mean it was closed? It was closed because the bank thought I was dead. And then I started getting mail at home to the estate of Walter Sterling, to the estate. And I went into the bank. I went into the bank branch. I didn't know how to behave or respond to the fact that the bank decided I was dead. I was a little gruff. Not threatening, didn't raise my voice. I never curse because I live in fear of a hot mic, and therefore I never curse. And their response was to just say, well, you've been inappropriate here in the branch, and we're closing the account. And oh, by the way, my two daughters were attached to that account and my wife, and they closed theirs. Well, that was a big problem for my two daughters who were 400 miles away at college, each of them. And that means one of them couldn't deposit her paycheck, the other one couldn't get out of money, and they were upset and scared, and it was a Friday. They upset and scared my daughters. Let's just think that through. How's that going to go for that bank? Well, that bank screwed me. Well, then I realize in articles in the Journal and in other official newspapers that this is a phenomena, that banks are closing accounts, and they won't tell me why. They never told me why. They never tell you why. I called Senator Sherrod Brown's office and I said, I'd like to get him on the air and discuss this because I understand that the bank has the right to not do business with anybody they don't want to do business with. I'm fine with that. You don't want to bake a cake for a gay couple. That's fine. That's your business. You don't want to do banking business with me. That's fine. That's your business. But I'd like to know why, because if I throw you out of my house, I'm going to tell you why. And I'd like to know why. I called Senator Sherrod Brown's office a couple times. I wanted to talk about this. Could you please make a rule that if you're going to debank somebody, that you tell them why? Well, they said, well, we'll have somebody from the communications office call you back. I said, who? And Sherrod Brown's office said, quote, we're not allowed to give out the names of anybody who works here. Like, what? You're a senator's office. You're a public servant. I'm paying your salaries. But Senator Sherrod Brown's office would not allow to give out the names of government employees. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man?
What was it?
Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling.
Looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
UFO expert Dave Scott coming up in just seconds. Good evening. Welcome, my Midnight Misfits. Dr. Dave Iser with weather.
Sterling on Sunday. Coming up.
Buckeye State. Pharmacy. Stabbing. People of Walmart later. Sterling at night.
Everybody knows someone with unusual quirks. Let's talk about it. I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk host, and I'll be stopping by later tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I share a story about the time I got pulled over as a rookie cop. And instead of getting a ticket, it led to a friendship that went back many years that led to a lot of useful information. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here with the death of a rabbit this week. We have no more pets in the house, except for the robotic vacuum, which I like better than any pet.
Sometimes he even pets him and says, good boy.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bra?
You should ask Mallory out on a date.
Okay.
What? You should.
Okay. Okay, yes, I will.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. You're not going to, are you?
Probably not. Oh. No.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
Columbus, Ohio, the home of the Ohio State University, is home for a bunch of wonderful Walmarts with a tremendous pharmacy department. People forget that Walmart is the number one billing company in the world. They sell more things, they take in more money than any company in the world. And one of the great reasons is their fantastic pharmacy department with awesome pharmacy techs and pharmacists who really know how to serve their customers. Because of that, there's occasionally a line. Thursday night, argument started in the line. Two men started throwing punches at each other. Someone pulls out a knife and starts stabbing away. Witnesses, multiple, called 911 from inside the store, prompting a heavy response from the Columbus Police Department. Once officers arrived, they used descriptions, witnesses, and Walmart staffers with their great blue vests provided to locate and arrest the perp at a gas station just 200 yards east of the store, probably owned by Walmart. Suspect's name has not been released. Multiple charges likely, according to our heroes in blue, the Police Department of Columbus. It's 5:40 on a Thursday. You probably are on your way to pick up the kids at daycare. You got to pick them up by 6. Some imbecile butts in front of you in the line. Don't stab him. Helpful hint! For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool, Sterling at Night.
The legendary Dave Scott, the man who can bring in UFOs with his mind. This is only a phenomenon that exists in Canada. Good evening, Dave. How is it going tonight?
Walter, thank you very much for having me on again this week. It's always good to talk the woo with you.
Now, Dave, you've often brought up the distinct possibility that you believe there is a secret space program and that we actually have people stationed on the moon right now and on Mars right now. Is that one of your theories?
That is one of my theories. It's not only my theory, but people who are deep, deep, deep on the inside tend to believe that this is not so much a theory, but an actuality, that the United States has aircraft, these large black triangle TR-3Bs, they're called, that could fly silently through the air. They could transport up to 300 people at a time up to the moon and maybe elsewhere as well. Walter, if you want to get real, real interesting, there's allegedly been jump rooms since the 1960s, 70s, where it's like walking through a portal like you see on Austin Powers. And you just walk right through, and the next thing you know, you're in another area within seconds.
Well, here's the question about people living on Mars and on the moon. With all of our receiver technology and people who are very advanced and aware and capable, wouldn't it be possible to pick up any of the radio signals coming from the moon or Mars from these people? Wouldn't we be able to... wouldn't somebody be able to have picked up these signals saying, oh my gosh, this is coming from the moon?
Not if it's on the dark side, because it would be blocked.
But they would have to communicate with Earth. If they're living on the dark side, wouldn't they have to communicate with Earth?
Good question. Good question that I do not have the answer for.
All right, I want you to get the answer to that by next week. Now, the other question I have for you.
I will try.
All right. I'm firmly convinced, based on all of my ancient alien studies with the History Channel, I'm firmly convinced that the Sphinx for sure and the pyramids probably were built long before it was claimed that they were built. That these weren't built 4,000 years ago. They were built 14,000 years ago. And that there have been at least 7 or 8 civilizations on Earth that were wiped out either with a pole shift or with massive typhoons or with massive earthquakes and tornadoes, because the Earth is, what, 3 billion years old?
Around there, you know, give or take a year.
I don't believe for one second that 10,000 years ago human beings showed up, or being generous, half a million years ago human beings showed up for the first time ever built civilization. That there have been at least 7 or 8 complete, fully formed civilizations on Earth that were wiped out. And people say, well, there'd be evidence. Well, no. When you build a sandcastle on the beach, a huge sandcastle on the beach, when you come back the next day, there is no evidence of that at all. It is completely wiped out by waves overnight. How do you feel about this?
I think you're onto something, because there have been artifacts that have been found that really do not carbon date themselves with what we are seeing. For instance, there was something that, and you could look this up on the internet, there was something like a watch that was made. Apparently the rock that it was in was carbon dated to thousands of years. And here is a watch that looks like it was made from a Swiss watch factory just within the last 100 years. It's very interesting. Plus, if you look at the hieroglyphics that are on the pyramids, we do see things that look like helicopters and aircraft and astronauts that have been there. And it makes me wonder, if that's how they were communicating, were those people actually there? Was that technology there? Could they have had helicopters, like we have helicopters today, that could lift insurmountable amounts of weight to move those rocks into precision areas? So I do believe you were onto something there. I'm not sure if it was aliens that helped out, but I could tell you that I do believe there was some sort of technological advancement that we do not know of.
Well, I agree. And the fact is, there are 4,000-ton blocks in the pyramids that we'd have a lot of trouble moving around. A bunch of guys in bare feet. By the way, all the workers of the pyramids are always shown in bare feet. I don't believe anybody was working on those pyramids in bare feet in 110-degree temperatures. And I don't believe that these could be floated down the Nile on wooden boats. They wouldn't be floated down the aisle on a modern cruise ship. They wouldn't be floated. Oh, of course they would sink. So it's, and then you got Zaghi Hawass, who every time somebody questions whether or not his ancestors did this, he goes crazy. Hey, how dare you say that? These are my ancestors. You can see their fingerprints on this. And he's not helpful at all. Isn't it time for him to retire, Zaghi Hawass, there in Egypt? Isn't it time for him to retire?
Man, in our fields, there are plenty of people who need to retire. Let me tell you that. You know, but the scholars keep looking, and one day maybe they'll find the answers and break the codes to what's truly going on in Egypt. For, and not just Egypt, but I mean, you look at the pyramids in Mexico and how they were built almost the exact same way. I mean, it's incredible how these pyramids were built all around the world, and yet nobody seems to have any directions or answers or Lego patterns on how to put these things together.
No. That's the thing. Every time somebody comes up with a theory about how the pyramids were built, there's always one thing wrong. You know, it's like the Kennedy assassination conspiracies. Okay, that makes sense. That makes it, well, there's always one little fact that doesn't fit into a perfect whole, just like with the pyramids. All right, Dave Scott, you're our friend. How do I reach you?
SpaceStyleRadio.com, my friend.
SpacedOutRadio.com, where all known theories are available. But Dave Scott's a great broadcaster and a great friend of Sterling on Sunday, and thank you for being on Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Ashley Benson.
The last time I lied, I had plans, and I canceled them. I just said I was very sick, and I wasn't, but I was also, you know, That happens.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bras?
I mean, I looked in the mirror and then I saw you and I was like, damn, we need to be best friends.
I did the same thing, actually.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life with benefits.
All right, it's always very exciting to be here. Good evening, Walter M. Sterling. Live on a Sunday night. There's nothing else like this because nobody else would work at this time. I mean, who else are they going to get to work? You know, the big guns think they need to be working on the morning. I can't think of anything worse. There's this new phenomena called the 5 a.m. solution, or what do they call it? The 5 a.m. What is this? Let me see. Let's get these titles right here. Let's be professional broadcasters. There's this hot new trend where some author thinks it'd be a really good idea to get up at 5 in the morning. And that, here, the 5 a.m. club, the summary of the 5 a.m. club. And basically what it says is that because of the way our brains work and how we process information, that the best thing we can do is get up at 5 in the morning. And again, this goes to the root arrogance of people who get up early. Every person who gets up at 5 a.m., whether they just started doing it or have been doing it all their lives, truly believes that you and I should get up at 5 in the morning. They all believe that getting up earlier is the answer and that you're truly industrious if you get up early. And they always give insane arguments like, well, you know, if you get up at 5, the world is quiet. You can really focus in on everything you have to do. Your energy isn't spent because all you have really in life is your energy. And how many things can you actually do? And if you get up at 5 a.m. with very few distractions for about 3 hours, you will be able to do much more. And you'll be able to take care of the four houses that live inside of you. Oh, it's insane. Every single thing that people say about the importance of getting up early and how great it would be to get up early is also true if you stay up late. If you stay up till 2 or 3 in the morning, you will have 3 or 4 hours of peace and quiet. You will have no distractions. I've always been this way. At 11 p.m. every night when I was in college and as a grown-up, that's when my focus comes. That's when I'm able to focus in and really take care of whatever it is I have to take care of after 11 p.m.
Good night, my dear, and don't forget my name. My name is Baba Yaga.
Do you realize that because of you, this city is being overrun?
Jessica, we've heard quite enough.
Do you realize that because of you, this city is being overrun by baboons?
Well, isn't that the fault of the voters?
All right, let's you and I talk. 888-688-WALT. I'm looking for something here, and there it is. This is what I'm looking for. This is what we need to hear, I truly believe. Now I have to turn up the volume and click. And click.
Well, I don't think you understand. I want to date you. I want to hang out and eat junk food and watch bad movies and just open myself up to you emotionally, physically, all of that. But I also want you to leave me alone.
And that's the dilemma of every introvert. We want to be with somebody. We want to be loved. We want to do things with somebody. And we also want them to leave us alone. That is the dilemma of being an introvert. You want to hear that again? It's absolutely true.
Well, I don't think you understand. I want to date you. I want to hang out and eat junk food and watch bad movies and just open myself up to you emotionally, physically, all of that. But I also want you to leave me alone.
Only another introvert would truly understand that. Because when an introvert says to somebody else, hey, I need some time alone, they are not saying, I don't want to be with you. They're not saying, I don't like you. We are not saying, I'd rather be alone than be with you. We're saying that the only way that I can be with you at all is if I have these periods of solitude. My mistress is not a girl. It's not a lover. It's not a hobby. It's being alone. That's the mistress, is solitude for an introvert. And in the solitude, you and I recharge. Other people feel lonely. Oh, you know, I got married because I was tired of feeling lonely. I never felt lonely in my life. Never. I never had the sensation of feeling lonely. When I was alone, when I am alone, I recharge. And the longer I'm alone, the more pleasant I am in social situations. No extrovert can understand that. Have what I said made sense to you? Does that make sense to you? Tony, who's listening on KDKA in Pittsburgh, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Hey, Walter, it's been a while.
And why is that, Tony? Tony, why is that? Well, why has it been a while?
Because they forced me to get up at 5 in the morning.
How dare they?
But I'm short-staffed now, so I'm back on Sunday night. I hope this becomes a long and lasting recurrence of our past meeting. But I'm angry about a couple of things. I'm angry because I just heard about your trip to the Riviera, and I already planned my first bucket list vacation in Alaskan cruise. So I don't think I'll be able to go to the French Riviera this year, but I'm hoping if it happens again next year that I can go next year. Good. Okay, I'll go.
If I had a choice between sumptuous wine, the best food in the world, and naked women on the beach, or looking at looking at snowdrifts and polar bears,
yeah.
I think it's a pretty clear-cut choice.
I understand, but I'm hoping for next year. The other thing I'm mad about is our president bombed Syria and Iran and started World War III. I'm mad about that. I'm mad that KDKA has cut you down to an hour. I don't think you're on right now on KDKA. I think they cut you off at midnight, so I'm not thrilled about that. But other than that, I'm happy. I'm happy I'm talking to you, and I'm happy to be up all night.
The
and
myth
listening to
is,
my man, Walter.
And thank you. The myth is KDKA is from 11P to 1A. That's what I think it is.
Okay, I have to double-check because it said something else was coming on at midnight, but I'll keep you posted.
Well, whatever it is, they'll regret it. Dave Labrosi knows better than to cut it off at midnight, and we'll have to deal with him out back of the woodshed. But I tell you what, do me a favor, listen, and then send me an email and tell me what you heard to waltermsterling@gmail.com. Would you do that for me, Tony?
I sure will, Walter. Always great talking to you.
Great talking to you, sir. Thank you very much for listening to Sterling on Sunday on KDKA. I love being on KDKA and KMOX and WPHT Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by TikTok.
Boy math is when they need to leave the house by 5 o'clock. So at 4:59, they're literally ready to go. Like, they're literally ready. They just need to hop in the shower super quick. But other than that, they're literally ready to go.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Who wears sports bra?
Whatever you're doing, you have to stop.
Whatever I'm doing, I never wanted this to happen. I just had this feeling, like, I really wanted to kiss you again.
You know, I think it would be best if we just pretend this whole thing never happened.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space. Alien life. With benefits.
Hi, it's Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
We're here on Sterling on Sunday to tell you about living in our old house with 8 kids. And our daughter's rabbit died this week.
The last of a bunch of pets. We had rats. You know, the dog died about a year ago, actually, next week. And now the bunnies have all passed on.
I'm okay with it.
Well, and that, I think, is because you've gotten to a point where you just don't want to take care of other things anymore.
Better than any pet is the addition of the robo-vacuum, the little robotic vacuum that has its docking station and then moves all around the living room, constantly vacuuming. Love that thing.
So on a whim, we were in the store and we saw this. You know, it's not like the brand of these RoboVacs that everybody has or talks about, but we saw it and it was cheap. And we thought, you know, why not? Because before you couldn't really have one with a small dog running around. It didn't really work because he barked at the regular vacuum. He probably would have eaten this thing.
The kids have named the vacuum Brian.
Yes, they did. They actually fought over the name. Like, they some kids wanted one name. They wanted to name it like a butler name, like Jeeves or Jean-Claude.
Yeah.
But the youngest won because the vacuum says Ion on the top. Ion. So he named it Brian.
Yeah,
and
Brian.
Now it's Brian.
It's useful. It's fun to watch. It's satisfying. Don't think poorly of me, but I like it better than a dog.
We can put it on at night and have a clean floor, not worry about what the little dog did in the floor when we wake up in the morning. It is kind of a plus.
I highly recommend it. We could do chores. Kids can do chores. They could vacuum with the real vacuum, sweep, get everything clean. And with that many people in the house and that many kids doing everything, in a couple of minutes after the cleaning, it looks, there's stuff all over the floor. So having this Brian sweeping is a big plus. It really works.
This is the best way I can explain it. When you were in school and you constantly saw the janitors with that big broom where they would sweep the things down the hallway because kids were in the school all the time,
right.
The kids are homeschooled. Somebody's in that house making a mess 24 hours a day, and you wouldn't believe the amount of times that we sweep. Now, we get our chores done in the morning, we set them off, we get our chores done in the evening, we set them off, and it's like a miracle.
Very satisfying. Now we need to get one for other rooms in the house.
I'm counting on you buying a fleet of these babies.
I'll be like a robo-pet hoarder. We'll have too many of them.
Can you ever possibly have too many people around the house cleaning? I don't think you can.
Follow me on Facebook, Dan Gaffney Show.
If you're looking for me, I'm on Instagram as Just Being Mom.
This is Dan and Becky for Sterling on Sunday.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to share a story from early in my NYPD career. So when I was a young cop, I got assigned to the DUI unit. And the old timers that worked in the DUI unit did not like the rookie cops there. So they weren't very nice to us. And we didn't have a lot of help. And I needed someone to help me navigate the landscape of an NYPD command. I needed a mentor. So I used to work at that time, 6 at night till 2 in the morning. One night I get out at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm driving home. I'm going down Baychester Avenue and I go through a red light. Well, all of a sudden I see police lights in back of me. So I immediately pull over. I shut my car off. I roll down my windows. I put the interior lights on. Two cops walk up on either side of the car. Can I see your license and registration? I go, guys, I'm really sorry. I hand them my license and registration. I give my police ID card. They go, oh, where do you work? I says, I work upstairs. In the same building, they go, oh, all right, well, you know, just be careful, have a good night. And they were very nice to me, and they drove off. So while I'm putting my wallet back in my pocket and starting up the car, I notice a set of headlights come on about 100 yards behind me. And I'm saying to myself, who's that? Were they being followed, or did some insomniac just decide to get up and go for a ride at 2 o'clock in the morning? So I just sat in my car, and a brown four-door Crown Vic with the precinct's integrity control officer, who's in charge of keeping tabs on police corruption, follows the two cops that pull me over. And I said, oh, wow, that's something. And I didn't know what to do. Should I warn these two cops that they're being followed by the precinct ICO? Or if they're under like big time investigation and I blow it by saying something, am I going to get in trouble as a rookie cop on probation? So I kind of struggled with the decision. But ultimately, I found the two cops the following day. I went up to them and I said, you know, you're being followed by the ICO. And they started to laugh. And I couldn't believe they were laughing. I go, what's so funny? They go, we lead the precinct in overtime. Of course he's going to follow us. He's trying to slow us down from making all these arrests. So now everything made sense. Well, that encounter with that veteran cop turned into a friendship that went for many years. So later on, I got transferred to the neighboring precinct. So when I would have information that was going on in his precinct, I would give him a call and he would give me a call, including one time I found a chop shop in his precinct. I had locked up a guy with a stolen car and he told me where the chop shop was. And I passed it along to this guy, Richie, and him and his partner were able to get a search warrant, make a lot of arrests. On the flip side, he had at one time lived in the Riverdale section of the Bronx, and he would feed me information about car thieves and burglars that were in the precinct. So like the old saying goes, one hand washes the other and both hands wash the face. For more NYPD stories, please check out my new book, NYPD, Laughing in the Line of Duty.
We had quite the challenge getting my daughter to school. She's 11. And about 3 weeks ago, she just decided she didn't want to go to school. And at first, we thought we were having shortcomings as parents. But then we realized, no, it's not us. She really likes being at home. She enjoys being at home. So we're doing our job. We've provided her with a safe, comfortable, fun home that she does not want to leave. She doesn't want to go to school. Therefore, the problem is at school. What is it at school that she doesn't like? Well, she has some mental processing challenges. She's really smart. And when she's doing something, she gets 1,000% engrossed in the activity. And then when you say, now it's time to do a new activity, she freaks. It doesn't mean she doesn't want to do the new activity. It means she has to change from what she's doing. That turns out to be the issue. Now that she's in middle school, she has to change classes several times a day. In elementary school, she sits in one classroom, maybe has some one-on-one time outside of the classroom with a special ed teacher. But now she regularly moves from classroom to classroom. And it is the changing of the classrooms that is the problem, and that she was very uncomfortable with and did not feel safe in and did not know how to do it. Well, Daddy bought her a set of noise-proof headphones, purple ones, which is her favorite color. That helped. And we started to engage the school psychologist and find the right people in the school who encouraged her and knew what to say to her to get her to go to school. And that has worked. Once we started putting her on the phone with the school psychologist every morning, she had her coat on before the phone call was over. I don't know what that psychologist says, but it's motivational. It makes her happy. It's not a threat. It's not shaming. I won't have that, because this is supposed to be a vaguely pleasant experience. Not every kid is going to like school every day. Nobody would expect her to. But by and large, she has to be wanting to arrive at school. And whatever they were doing was not motivating her to do it. But now they kind of figured it out. So she's going to school. Fingers crossed. I'll give you an update next week. Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Judge Judy.
Ultimately, you got the car back.
Yes, ma'am.
And you say it was damaged.
Yes, ma'am.
Who cares?
Sterling on Sunday. Now, 3 good minutes.
This is Joe Dittmar, who is a retail industry leader for IBM Consulting. He's an expert on the interface between artificial intelligence and your retail experience. Joe, as a customer, at what point in my life do I actually interface with artificial intelligence?
Have you called into a retailer recently to try to find an order, to get a status on an order that you placed?
When I call a retailer, this is how it goes, Joe. I keep hitting the buttons till I find representative.
Well, you definitely break the system. Unfortunately for you, you probably spend more time on the phone because you don't answer it. But for some pretty reputable retailers, it asks you a simple question that says, hey, can you tell me what you're calling for today? And if you say, I'm trying to track down my order, it immediately translates. The AI is just there to cognitively understand the words you used and the tone of your voice to decide which agent to get you to cut down on the time you spent.
Joe, if I were to say, I want to track my order, the response I would hear would be, oh, you want more orders.
You need to tell me what retailer that is so I can go call them, because that wouldn't be one of IBM's clients. IBM's client would say, you know, let me connect you to an agent, or it would ask you for your order number. And then it would give you a detailed description of where your order was in the process.
Your organization did a 20,000 person sample around the world of AI use, AI perceptions, interface between you, me, and a brand. What are some of the findings that came out of that study?
The one that shocked me was that only 9% of consumers are satisfied with their in-store experience. And I expected to see more people that were happy with in-store experience. And it really was on many, many different levels that they were dissatisfied. If they're really not happy with the experience, what are they willing to try? And 59% said they were willing to really start using AI as they shop. More of them wanted faster checkout. Even more wanted new payment types. They don't like the old standard Visa, MasterCard, Amex only options. They want pay over time options in the physical store.
If I want to engage you, what do I do?
You go to IBM.com.
Joe, thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. A promotional partnership pre-recorded with IBM. Welcome. This is Sterling on Sunday. Well, how exciting is this? We get to be alone. We get to be alone. And what we're going to talk about next week is there's this huge movement for self-driving cars, but what you may not know, but you know, huge push for self-driving trucks. And I think that's a terrible idea. Oh, and by the way, thanks to the shutdown of two pipelines in the Midwest, now diesel fuel is up to $4.12 a gallon. It's insulting enough that a truck driver has to pay 20 times more for a toll road than you and I do in a four-wheeler. 18-wheelers pay about 10 times more. I'll prove it to you. If you drive the length of the Pennsylvania Turnpike, it's $50 for a four-wheeler. It's $1,000 for an 18-wheeler. And now gas is about $4.12 a gallon for a truck, diesel.
Remember in the 70s? Remember that when it used to be that diesel was much cheaper than that other gas?
Yeah, well, that isn't true anymore. Diesel's more, ridiculously more. And gee, milk costs more and eggs cost more. I wonder how that could be. I know. It's because the pipelines keep getting shut down both domestically and in Canada, and that drives up the price of gas, and that drives up the price of food and milk. And you think you have trouble? Walmart Midwest milk is about $2.29 a gallon. Get this. I was talking to a friend of mine in Manhattan. At Food Emporium in Manhattan, it's $6.59 a gallon for milk in Manhattan. Therefore, there are some things for you that are much better. Yes, I've gotten my kid to go back to school. I've got the 21-year-old who's doing well enough at Syracuse University, producing great shows on their closed-circuit TV, Juice and Java. And the 18-year-old is a star at SUNY Purchase, and I believe she's going to try to transfer to Sarah Lawrence, which is where girls wear all black and they chain smoke and they look in the distance and quote Kierkegaard. And I can't even spell Kierkegaard. I could at one time, but those days are long gone. And my one of my sisters stepped up to the plate, and when her brother asked her for a little help this month, because, you know, it's January and no one has any money in January, she stepped up and helped. And I am grateful, and I thank you for doing that, because the greatest gift you and I can receive is a request for help. And I view it as in fact, a gift when somebody says, hey, Walter, I need some help with whatever it is, even if it's just carrying bags into the house. I help, and I feel better. When you and I help other people, it's our way of being an extrovert. It's our only way of being an extrovert, and then we'll go back to the corner of the room and hide. But that's the amazing thing. I never hear anybody on the radio talking to introverts. I never hear anybody on the radio saying anything other than, well, it's good to get up early. No, it's not. It's not necessarily good to get up early. In fact, it's a vision of hell. My email's waltermsterling@gmail.com. I'll send you a link to that Zoom call about the trip to the Riviera.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.